Secondly, every sin always, always incurs a debt. Now, every sin incurs guilt, and every sin incurs a debt of pain, which we call penalty. No, I could have put penalty here, understand? They describe what penalty is, but guilt here, loss of grace. No sin is ever committed without a penalty. And penalty means debt of pain. And then depending again on how much we have sinned, how deeply we have sinned, we always incur, and the key word is debt. We owe God, we owe Him the experience of pain, which is the definition of suffering. Suffering is the experience of pain. And pain is whatever is contrary to the created will. That's pain. Now atonement. The sacrifice of the Mass. This is now Paul the Sixth in number 53. I'm just expanding. Atonement. Every Mass atones for sin. How does it atone for sin? Well, in two ways, by restoring grace and by removing more or less of the debt of pain. And without going into too much detail, because, sisters, this subject of the Eucharist is not just a mountain, it's not just the Himalayas. It is all the mountains, not just in the world, but are there mountains on other planets? Are there mountains in the moon? So, every Mass atones in two ways, by restoring grace and by removing more or less of the debt of pain. And what the Holy Father also points out is not just, not only for ourselves, but the sacrifice of the Mass atones both for ourselves and for others. In other words, the sacrifice of the Mass, just because Mass is offered, just because Mass is offered, grace, more or less, is restored to human beings. However, when we say grace is restored, remember, we must somehow, in some way or another, cooperate with that grace for the guilt which we incur. We must somehow repent. Use the word we are sorry. In English, the word sorry, you're at table. By mistake, we somebody's coffee, we bump the coffee, it spills, we are over the table. I am sorry. In order for this grace from the sacrifice of the Mass to both restore grace and remit, reduce, even remove the debt of pain, we, not just we, but everybody, must in some degree or another repent. And here, sisters, you'll see more about this in on Monday, because on Monday, today is Saturday, right? My plan for Monday, I shared some of this with Sister Frederick. From Monday on, I would like to spend 2 hours on the Eucharist and 2 hours on penance. And then the third week, there's a third week, I think. Again, up to 2 hours on the Eucharist, and then 2 hours each day on the priesthood. Now we will see more about this. We talk about penance. But I cannot begin to tell you how important it is for us to be daily, not I mean just for 1 minute a day, but to be daily conscious of what we have done wrong and repent. Because the graces that we receive, and others too, that we receive from the sacrifice of the Mass, and that's the Mass being offered, Holy Communion being received, either during Mass, even outside of Mass, and also the real presence, prayer before the Blessed Sacrament, except with the Mass, there will be no real presence, right? Another Mass, there can be no real presence. Zero. Now the real presence remains after Mass. As long as the elements, the species, retain their properties. That is why. And in the Mother House, you were the Mother House, weren't you today? But here, Savorium just filled Fastu Savoria. And I think before Mass tomorrow, I will see how many hosts there are in the tabernacle. There were too many hosts. And the church does not recommend receiving communion from hosts that were consecrated before the Mass. They receive communion even though they have been consecrated at another Mass. But the church prefers receive communion from the host consecrated during the Mass that they attend. That's the church's teaching. As long as what had been bread retains the properties of breadness, is not bread. Now, for that long, Christ remains. But once those qualities change, then Christ is no longer present.